Well, greetings again this morning. I would like for today's daily inspiration, I would like to exalt the Lord Jesus very directly. I would like to turn your eyes upon him. The Lord Jesus, the Son of God, who came to live, to teach, to die the most cruel death, so that you and I can have eternal life in his presence. The Bible speaks of him getting the reward of his suffering. He deserves everything that we can ever give him. He deserves our heart full of love and adoration and praise. Several scriptures that show us a bit of who he is and how we are saved in him. Hebrews 10, verse 29. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified, an unholy thing, hath done despite him the Spirit of grace. This is speaking of how under Moses' law, those that transgressed had to die without mercy under two or three witnesses. And he's saying, how much sore will the punishment be for those that reject the Son of God? I don't think we realize too many times just how serious it is to live in the new covenant, live in the times of the new covenant, but reject Jesus. Oh, my friend. Give him all that you have. You will never be sorry. 1 John 2:23 reads like this. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledges the Son has the Father also. 1 John 5:10. He that believeth on the Son of God has the witness in himself that he believeth. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And reading on there, and this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that has the Son has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. It is so clear and so simple. If we have Jesus, we have life. If we have him not, we have not life. Do not be deceived, my friend. It doesn't matter what church you're in, how good you look on the outside, how nonconformed you are to the world, how you have a show of piety and keep yourself from idols and keep yourself from the more obvious sins of the world. If you have not Jesus, you are not saved. And if you say you have Jesus, but you do not truly have him, it makes no difference for you. Jesus said, if we love him, we will keep his commandments. So, if we say we love him, if we say we believe in him, but it doesn't really make a difference in how we live, very likely we are deceiving ourselves. Let's be clear in our walk. Let's make our calling and election sure. And let's get rid of religious doings that are not founded in Christ. Let's make sure that we are truly holding the head, as Colossians 2 speaks of, holding on to Jesus. The times we live in are perilous, and they're deceiving. They can be confusing. And some people are tempted to come up with additional things in how to keep ourselves from the world, how to make things go the way they want it to go. But that's very dangerous. We need to make sure that we are really basing our hope on Jesus Christ and Him alone. That we are not adding to the Bible or taking away. There are several very clear and strong warnings against adding or taking away to the Word of God. One is found in Galatians 1, and the other one is found in Revelation 22. If you would like to look those up, I would encourage you to do that. Jesus said, if we abide in Him and He abide in us, we shall ask what we will and it will be done unto us. And He also said that we will be fruitful if we abide in Him. That's in John 15. John chapter 15. If we abide in Him, let me read in chapter 5. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in Me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without Me, ye can do nothing. So let's make sure we really are abiding in Him. All of Scripture points to Jesus. That's what the Bible really is about, is Jesus. Nature speaks of Jesus. There are so many things, so many lessons and illustrations that can be taken from this, from nature and the lessons of life that point to God. And I would like to just touch on a little one yet that we find in math. I don't know if you like math. I enjoy math. I enjoy numbers. But even in numbers, we can be inspired to serve the Lord. You know, God is the one that invented numbers. He's the one that made numbers. We just gave words to their names to the numbers. He invented the number system. We just read about without Jesus, we are nothing. Nothing equals zero. Without Jesus, we equal to zero. Now Jesus, He is the one. He is the one and only Savior. He is the one true God. He is the way, the truth, and the life. There is none other name given under heaven whereby we must be saved. He is our only hope. He is the one and only, and He is number one. He is the highest in heaven and in earth. So Jesus is the one, and we are zero. Too many people put themselves first and then add on Christ at the end and hope to be saved. We aren't set up as judge in. We're not to decide exactly who and exactly who is not saved. But we also want our life to be fruitful. We don't want to just build on wood, hay, and stubble, and it's burned away, and we don't have much to show for eternity. We want this life to be fruitful and to mean something and to have lasting value. So don't just add on Christ at the end. You can have as many zeros as you want and then add on Christ, and all you have is one. Remember, this is the math lesson. But if you put Jesus first and then add zeros, it makes a tremendous difference. Imagine a whole church full of people that put Jesus first. So there's one, and then there's zeros, and zeros, and zeros, and they just keep going. The number gets tremendously high. But if we have a church full of people that all put themselves first and Jesus later, it sure doesn't amount to much, does it? So let's make sure we put Jesus first and ourselves after him so that our lives can be fruitful. I hope this was a blessing. May you have a wonderful day.